Chapter 1. Free Fall. Lucy peered through the night vision goggles and scanned the road. She perceived movement in every shadow, jumped at every waving branch, flinched at the slightest creak. She was exhausted, freezing, hungry, longing for the dawn. Her disturbed sleep was an uneasy series of nightmarish flashbacks to the hours before, General Whitaker's jeep tumbling across the tar of Camp Oscar, his broken neck, the swarms of beasts tearing through the convoy. She wondered if they were the only ones to have made it out alive. Major Lopez had vetoed further discussion of the topic as a distraction. As far as he was concerned, their sole aim was to get to D.C. alive and regroup with whatever remained of the nation's armed forces. Lucy placed the goggles on her lap and blinked at the darkness. Drifting clouds obscured the moonlight, leaving only scant illumination for the fields and trees. Lucy wished snow would cover the windshield and simply shut out the world outside. The windows were already covered, so it would have completed their camouflage, but Lopez had been adamant. They needed eyes on the road in case another convoy passed by en route to the Capitol. The snow had stopped anyway, presumably sometime during Jackson's shift, meaning they could stop the intermittent wiper blades and save some precious power. Private Jackson had woken Lucy up 30 minutes ago, plucking Lucy from a guilt-ridden nightmare about her estranged mother and handing her the goggles all too gladly. Lucy consulted the dashboard. It was 4:31 a.m. Dawn was a long way off. She shivered and rubbed her hands together, blowing onto her numb fingertips. Her breath misted inside the freezing truck. The AC was useless with the engine off, and they had to conserve fuel. She swiveled in the front passenger seat and looked at the other two. Major Lopez's mouth hung open as he quietly snored. Jackson's lips, by contrast, were pursed, and a frown lingered across her unconscious face. Lucy's eyes hesitated on the empty driver's seat. She felt a pang of grief. What she'd give to hold her Dan again, to feel his arms around her, his cheek against hers. She played his voice over in her head, imagining him greeting her with the warmth and love they'd shared. Tears filled her eyes. Her hands twitched, remembering the touch of his broken body in the wreckage. It had been so heavy. What were his last words? What would they have been if she'd been with him in the end? She flinched, swatting her arm, then brushing it furiously as the memory of Dan's disintegration resurfaced like an electric shock. She remembered the flecks of his liquefied flesh spraying her. Lucy broke down, clutching her hair and stifling her sobs in the confines of the static Humvee, trying not to wake the sleeping soldiers. She grabbed her backpack and pulled out her notepad. Struggling to grip the pen in her frigid fingers, she scrawled by the slender moonlight. Why me? Why was I the one to live? She paused and looked at the page. She couldn't see the words, let alone the lines. It didn't matter. All she could see was the train crash. If I'd been standing anywhere else, I'd be with you now, wherever you are. Maybe oblivion. Anything is better than life without you. I was your Lucy. You were my Dan. And I let you go. I didn't protect you. My soulmate. I failed you. She thrust the notepad back into her bag and squeezed her eyes shut, stemming the fresh wave of tears. As far as she knew, Dan's father was waiting for them in D.C. What could she possibly tell him? Bang! Lucy woke with a jolt. Lopez was looming over her, livid. Sorry, did I startle you? He said aggressively. What the fuck? Said Jackson drowsily from the back. Lucy froze. The cold tip of Lopez's pistol was pushing hard up under her chin. What's happening? Said Lucy, blinking him into focus. His head was silhouetted in a white glow. Ditto that, said Jackson. Great question. What is happening? We have no idea, because Young here fell asleep on watch, said Lopez, holstering his pistol and taking the driver's seat. I'm sorry, said Lucy, sitting up squinting. Daylight poured through the windshield and bounced between the snow-clad windows. I don't want to hear sorry. Sorry's too late. Sorry's the sound of us getting killed. Sort your shit out, Young. We're late for D.C., and time is critical, said Lopez.
Lay off, Major. She's just a civvy, said Jackson. The hell she is. She's in uniform. She's a soldier now. Time to start acting like one.
Right, because that's how it works, said Lucy.
That's exactly how it works. We're at war, Young. In war, civilians die. Soldiers fight. Choose which one you're going to be and choose fast, because we don't have room for dead weight. I'm going to check the house. Jackson, the engine's out. Get it working.
With that, Lopez forced the door open, breaking the seal of icy snow. He climbed out, letting in a blast of frigid air.
Goddamn summer hummers, said Jackson, climbing into the driver's seat.
She depressed the clutch and toggled the engine switch several times.
Great, just great. Hope you like pushing, Young, she said.
Jackson stuck the gear into second, left the switch on, and hopped out. Lucy followed her out into the powdery fresh snow, which formed a panoramic blanket. Daylight bounced between the clouds and the snow. Adjacent to the Humvee was a darkened bungalow. Lopez smashed the glass of the front door and let himself in. Lucy copied Jackson in kicking snow away from the front of the truck's wheels until they'd created a series of gullies. She followed Jackson to the rear of the vehicle.
Push!
Grunted Jackson as the pair leant into the snow-clad vehicle. The Humvee didn't budge.
Come on!
Groaned Jackson, straining. Lucy pushed harder still, relying heavily on the traction of her boots. The truck crunched forwards over the powdery snow.
That's it,
croaked Jackson, wincing with the exertion. The engine spluttered into life and the truck jolted forwards, now moving under its own power. Jackson tried to chase after it, but stopped, bent over, wheezing.
Get it,
she insisted, motioning Lucy to stop the truck. Lucy scrambled across the snow, chasing after the trundling vehicle. She hauled herself inside the driver's seat and shoved the gear into neutral. The truck slowed to a halt and Lucy crunched on the handbrake, then revved the gas several times until she was confident the engine wasn't going to falter. She left the engine running and jogged back to Jackson, who was still bent over.
You okay?
Lucy said, catching up.
It's nothing, said Jackson, waving her away. Just low blood sugar and dehydration.
This ought to help,
said Lopez, emerging from the house. He chucked Jackson half a bottle of concentrated orange drink.
Don't drink it all. That's gotta last the three of us, he added.
He had three blankets tucked under his arm and two large plastic bags, one containing jumbled winter wear accessories, the other full of empty sports bottles.
Wrap up,
he said, handing Lucy and Jackson a woolly hat each. While the pair rummaged through the bags for scarves and gloves, Lopez popped the Humvee's snow-covered hood and placed three aluminum parcels on top of the engine before resealing it. Once wrapped up, Lucy copied Jackson, who was filling the sports bottles with snow. They filled the lot while Lopez scraped the Humvee's windows clear. The three of them reconvened inside the truck.
The road's bearing south-southeast. Ideally, we find a freeway which can get us to the nearest city, said Lopez.
Is that sensible? I thought the convoy was avoiding cities, said Lucy.
Well, look how well that worked out,
said Lopez, taking a swig of orange juice and passing it back to Jackson. Was that full when you found it? Said Lucy, eyeing up the juice.
You saying I took more than my share? Said Lopez.
It's just a question, said Lucy, receiving the carton from Jackson.
How about next time you go find provisions, then you can answer that question yourself, retorted Lopez.
I'm gonna use the bathroom before we move out, said Jackson.
Me too, said Lucy, wiping her mouth on her sleeve. She followed Jackson to the abandoned house, leaving Lopez to further consult the compass. The house was modest inside. Lucy explored tentatively while waiting for Jackson to finish. The decor was several decades out of date. A bed with a black duvet but no sheet on the mattress. Posters of classic rock bands on the walls. In the lounge, there was a faded linen sofa and a hamburger phone. Dark patches stained the sofa, and clothes lay strewn across the cushions.
All yours, said Jackson, leaving the bathroom.
Lucy entered, holding her breath. The room didn't smell, but the toilet seat was warm. Steam rose from Jackson's urine, which was seeping into the toilet's frozen water. Lucy defecated, then instinctively went to flush. No water was released, but the handle felt warm. Lucy prized off the plastic cistern lid and peered inside, immediately feeling the warmer air rise up to greet her. Growing out of the water pipe and stretching into the cistern walls were short, fine blades of bleached grass, tightly packed together. They looked damp. Lucy peered closer. It grew as far down the pipe as she could see. A rattling sound pricked her ears. There was a distinct rhythm to it, like something scuttling.
There was a loud clang, and the cistern shook. The scuttling got louder and faster. A second clang. Lucy shoved the lid over the cistern and ran back to the truck.
"Drive,"
she insisted. Lopez released the handbrake and hit the gas, propelling them forwards.
"What's going on?"
said Jackson, following Lucy's gaze to the rear of the truck. "There's something in there," said Lucy.
"A beast?"
said Jackson, grabbing her rifle.
"Something else,"
said Lucy.
"What?"
"I didn't want to wait to find out,"
said Lucy as the house shrank behind them.
"You see that?"
said Jackson, squinting down the side of her barrel. Snow sprayed up from the front of the house as something dark scuttled down the path onto the road. Lucy fumbled for the binoculars as the creature darted across their tracks and burrowed into the neighboring virgin snow. The snow spraying ceased, but cracks and ridges would appear in the snow as the creature scoured the house's surroundings, moving sideways across the road in a narrow zigzag. Jackson slumped back into her seat. She looked pale. Lucy continued staring until the creature's tracks were out of sight. They'd been driving for almost an hour when Lucy broke the silence. There'd been no further sign of the scuttling creature, but a car had caught her eye.
"Pull over,"
she urged as they passed the stationary vehicle.
"If we stop to check out abandoned vehicles, we'll never make it to D.C.,
replied Lopez.
"There's a gun in there,"
she insisted.
"What?"
said Lopez.
"The driver shot themselves,"
said Lucy, eyeing up the car's blood-splattered windows.
"How'd you know it wasn't a beast?"
said Jackson.
"Because none of the windows are smashed. Now pull over,"
said Lucy. Lopez backed up until they reached the abandoned car. Lucy and Jackson climbed out. There were no tire marks in the vehicle's wake. Snow covered the bottom half of the windows, while the frosted top half was stained with brown blotches. Lucy prized the cold handle open, revealing the frostbitten corpse of the driver inside. Dried flecks of brain and bone had frozen to the roof where the bullet had left the man's skull. A small pile of snow sat on the man's shoulders and hair beneath the hole in the roof. The man's pale skin had turned dark blue and was chapped. His eyelids were closed, and his mouth hung open where he'd inserted the gun. He must have been around 40. Lucy prized the gun from the man's rigid, mottled hand. The frozen body could have been anything from a week to a couple of months old. She checked the glove compartment and pocketed the bullets, tissues, and mints therein. Jackson's sweep of the other seats found nothing useful, so the pair checked out the trunk. There was a car manual, a spare tire, bag of fertilizer, and a shovel. Jackson grabbed the shovel, and Miles' head split open with a crack. He fell to the ground, and Dan smashed down on his head again and again, hammering the flat blade into her boss's skull until the man's head was but a bloodied pulp. The road was smeared in blood and brain tissue, soon to be baked by the Californian sun. Miles's knife lay discarded by his body. They had to get rid of the evidence before anyone saw, but Dan was going into shock. She shook him.
"Look at me! Look at me! You're okay! Take his legs,"
she said, sliding her hands under Miles's arms. She could feel the warmth of his body through her rubber gloves. They had to get him in the compressor before anyone saw. The trunk slammed shut.
"Young, you okay?"
said Jackson, eyeing her warily. Lucy realized she'd recoiled several paces from the car.
"You went weird,"
said Jackson, her eyebrow cocked.
"I'm fine. Let's just get back to the truck,"
croaked Lucy. "Look on the upside. He died doing what he loved," said Jackson, gesturing to the driver with a bitter laugh. Lucy's mouth was dry. The traumatized look on Dan's face lingered in her mind. She climbed back into the Humvee, dully registering the warmth inside. A strong and welcome scent greeted her, one that she hadn't smelled in months.
"Breakfast is served, people,"
said Lopez. He handed her and Jackson a foil package each. They were piping hot. Jackson unwrapped hers eagerly and let out a gasp of delight. Lucy copied, her hunger bringing her brain back into the present. Nestled in the folds of the creased metal were steaming flakes of tuna.
"How did you—"
said Lucy, tearing off a glove and grabbing the hot fish with her fingers, shoveling it into her mouth and venting the steam with each ravenous chew.
"Don't tell me this is your first barbecue,"
said Lopez, setting the Humvee in motion. Jackson beckoned to Lucy for the orange drink.
"Finally," cheered Lopez, pointing to a road sign up ahead. "Welcome to Route 56, folks. Let's hope this is our lucky number."
Once Jackson had finished eating, she took over driving from Lopez, who tucked into his own foil package. A plume of smoke caught Lucy's eye. It was rising from the chimney of one of the isolated roadside homes. "Should we stop?" she said. No one replied, and Jackson drove by. More empty homes dotted the road, but within a few miles there was another plume of smoke. As the houses became more regular, a second sign greeted them. "Welcome to Madison." The number of active chimneys was increasing, too. Lucy counted a few each minute they drove, but they only made up a tiny fraction of the otherwise deserted homes they were passing. "Look," said Lucy, pointing ahead. A man in his 50s was leaving his driveway. He was on foot, pushing a supermarket cart onto the snowy sidewalk. The cart's wheels had been adapted with spikes that gripped the powdery terrain. Inside it were some tinned goods. The man looked up, hearing the truck. He released the cart and waved furiously, becoming increasingly animated as they got closer. "We should stop, right?" said Lucy.
"And say what?"
shrugged Jackson, driving past the man. The stranger jumped up and down in a desperate bid to flag them down. Lucy watched as he tried to run after them, but his pace in the snow was pitiful. He gave up quickly and stared with drooped shoulders as they left.
"Jackson's right. We've got no business with these people. There'll be more like him. No point stopping for one if you can't stop for them all," said Lopez.
Lucy took in the town. Heads were appearing in the windows of chimney-using homes, drawn by the rumbling engine. A few people dashed out into their drives, trying to catch the visitors. The homes gave way to retail units and factories as the center became more urbanized.
"Bingo,"
said Lopez, spotting a mall up ahead. Jackson pulled into the parking lot. The superstore's front windows were smashed, and several inches of snow lay inside.
"We get in, we get out. Be quick. People know we're here. Find what food and drink you can, and meet me back here in no more than 5 minutes," said Lopez.
"Where are you going?" asked Lucy as they clambered out.
"Bathroom,"
said Lopez, stepping over the shards of glass and making a beeline towards the men's room.
"You wanna push or grab?" said Jackson, swinging an empty cart around.
"Not sure there's much to grab, but I'll try," said Lucy, eyeing up the shelves. The store was around 40% full. Light bulbs, greeting cards, DVDs, air fresheners were all in abundance, but the food shelves were barren.
"There's gotta be something,"
said Jackson as they hurried down the aisles, doing lengths of the store until they reached the far end. The yield was depressing. Cooking oil, tea bags, cat food, and several bottles of ketchup. They reached the edge of the checkout area. Lucy glanced at the registers and wondered if they had any cash left in them, or if some couple had robbed the place back when money was useful.
"We should check out back," said Lucy, looking for a staff door.
Jackson followed with the cart. Skylights illuminated the warehouse in spite of the layer of snow. The place was a mess. Torn cardboard littered the floor where discarded boxes spewed their contents. Rolls of toilet paper, freezer bags, and clothes covered the concrete.
"You see that?"
said Jackson, pointing to the skylight overhead. Lucy looked up, squinting. Encircling the frame was a dark purple algae, which grew outwards from the light in a radial fashion as it colonized the surrounding ceiling. Three sharp whistle blasts interrupted her speculation.
"Crap,"
said Jackson, swinging her rifle off her shoulder.
"On me."
Lucy rushed after Jackson, back through the store, trying to keep pace with the cart. The whistle blasts repeated. They were coming from the parking lot, where a crowd had surrounded the Humvee. The people were wrapped in thick layers of clothes. Many wore skis and held ski poles. Some of the kits were real, others notably homemade. Three people were wearing full ice hockey uniforms with hockey sticks slung over their shoulders. The range in height and breadth suggested the crowd spanned ages and sexes.
"I make 11. Follow my lead," said Jackson as they crossed into the lot.
Lopez's voice carried as they approached. His tone was strained.
"We can't take you. No, I don't have any more information. I've told you already. There's a mustering operation at DC. We will come back for you. The army will come back for you. I don't know when. My guess is spring." "Make way,"
Jackson called, interrupting Lopez's efforts. She grabbed the front of Lucy's cart and sprinted towards the truck, dragging Lucy with it. The people nearest them moved out of the way just in time as Jackson skidded into the side of the Hummer.
"Young, cover me,"
Jackson ordered as she pulled the door open and began throwing the supplies into the truck. Lucy turned to face the crowd.
"Please, help us,"
said an older woman, squeezing Lucy's arms desperately. Take us with you, said one of the hockey players, edging closer, his young eyes wide with hope behind the mesh of his helmet.
Ah, shit,
said Jackson, abandoning the truck and pushing her way through the crowd to the far side. A child had opened the door opposite and was stealing the cans Jackson had loaded. Jackson chased after the child, who doubled back and retreated towards their parent. A rattling drew Lucy's head back to the front. People were rifling through the cart and stealing the remaining items. Lucy tried to shove their hands away, but in doing so, relinquished her grip on the cart. The group wrenched the cart away and surrounded Lucy.
Back up!
She cried, trying to imitate Lopez's authority as half a dozen hands patted her uniform down, groping for pockets.
Hey!
She cried, trying to fend them off. The old woman had opened Lucy's breast pocket and was pulling out the tissues and mints. The young hockey player was raiding another pocket, pulling out wound dressings. Another had found her compass.
Get off!
Lucy cried, but the more she tried to bat away the clawing hands, the more frenzied they became.
Young, close the door! Called Lopez.
Lucy realized she'd left the loading door unguarded. A second child had pulled it open and was reaching inside. As Lucy grabbed the child's shoulder, a strong adult hand wrapped itself around her own wrist, pulling her back. More hands scratched at her pockets. They were becoming rougher, shoving her as they searched.
Jackson!
Cried Lopez, his tone urgent. A stranger had climbed into the driver's seat of the Humvee and was looking for the ignition key.
Jackson, now!
Lopez screamed. Jackson darted to the truck and grabbed the man, hurling him out of the truck and throwing him backwards onto the ground.
Bastard!
Cried a woman from the front, punching Lopez hard in the face. Lopez chopped her in the larynx, sending the woman staggering back, spluttering. He pulled out his handgun and fired a shot into the air. The crowd flinched, ducking down en masse and scattering backwards.
Back up now!
Cried Lopez, aiming at the hockey player nearest him, who was reaching for her stick. The engine sprung to life. Jackson was in the driving seat.
Young, get in,
cried Lopez, rotating his arm across the crowd as individuals edged closer in alternation. Lucy scrambled into the back of the car and slammed the door. Lopez leapt into the front. The crowd rushed towards the Humvee and thumped the sides, slamming it with their gloves, beating it with ski poles, creating the effect of a hailstorm striking the truck. Lucy's door clicked open. She grabbed the handle and pulled back as hard as she could, but the outsider was stronger. With a roar of the engine, the Humvee lurched forwards, throwing Lucy's assailant off balance and slamming the door shut. Jackson quickly pulled out of the parking lot, skidding around the snow-covered corner onto the main boulevard. Lucy looked back. The woman who had punched Lopez was on her knees, tending to a motionless man on his back, the man Jackson had thrown to the ground. A pool of blood seeped from his head, turning the surrounding white ice to crimson. Two members of the crowd pulled the shopping cart level with the man and bent down to lift him. More skiers were arriving at the mall, following the Humvee's original tracks in the snow. From the opposite side of the boulevard, a woman was hurrying across the snow towards them, wobbling in her snowshoes. One by one, the strangers gave up and watched despondently as the Humvee escaped the mall. Lucy's heart continued to pound as they crossed a river bridge and left the town behind.
What the hell was that, Young? Cried Lopez. That's your idea of covering a door? My God!
Lucy's blood boiled.
How about you go fuck yourself, Major?
She said, balling her fist.
What did you just say? Said Lopez. I have zero training. You guys conscripted me barely 3 days ago after I was nearly raped and killed by some psychopaths. Then you load me into a truck and drive into a massacre at Camp Oscar. And now the fact that you couldn't handle a bunch of civilians is apparently my fault? Go to hell! Oh, I get it. Because you've had a rough time, it's on everyone else to look after you, is that it? I got news for you. That's not how conflict situations work.
Oh, don't patronize me,
snapped Lucy.
Then pull your goddamn weight. I don't mean with more bullshit experiments that get good people killed. I mean, get your head in the game like a real soldier.
Like you?
That's it. You're officially demoted. Give me that slider right now, said Lopez, pointing at her captain's insignia.
With pleasure,
laughed Lucy, tearing the slider off and tossing it at Lopez.
You want to go it alone, Young? Be my guest. Otherwise, you will shut the hell up and you will learn discipline fast before you get the rest of us killed.
Oh, please, Major, teach me everything you know. It was clearly of such value to the hundreds of people who died last night.
This is unacceptable. Jackson, pull over. I want Young out of this vehicle now.
Jackson continued driving.
Jackson!
She's the reason both of us are alive, Major, said Jackson, keeping her eyes fixed on the road.
I'm giving you an order, Jackson, said Lopez, fuming.
Jackson said nothing.
I see how it is, said Lopez, his eyes bulging.
I'm on your side, Major. But I'm on hers, too. We're a unit. You taught me that, said Jackson.
Lopez said nothing, and a silence fell over the car. Lucy hugged her sides and stared out of the window as the road shadowed the meandering route of the river. Her daily water-gathering routine seemed a long time ago. Jackson kept their speed moderate, conserving fuel and keeping control over the snow-covered roads. Lucy's torso was bruised from the rough pickpocketing crowd. Her mind flashed back to the mob in San Francisco, to the people chasing the train as it pulled out of the station, arms extended, running, reaching, falling. Gone.
Gas, said Jackson sometime later.
They'd picked up a deserted highway headed for Cincinnati, but fuel was running low.
Hallelujah, said Lopez.
We'll see, said Jackson, turning off the freeway and down the icy slip road. Traffic signals hung above the deserted intersection, covered in an inch of snow. Icicles grew from the lights like a beard, dripping in the morning sun. Jackson followed the sign to the station and whistled, impressed.
Love what they've done with the place, she chimed.
The station was a charred shell. Scorch marks stretched to every inch of the tattered structure. Along the ground, fallen roof panels poked through the snow in between burned-out cars which had lost their windows. The pumps had been obliterated in the explosion, along with much of the adjacent store. In front of the wreckage, facing the road, was a large hand-painted sign that simply read, Gas, with an arrow pointing the other way. Jackson hooked a U-turn, and they retraced their route. At the intersection, they crossed under the freeway towards the other services. The second gas station was intact and had a single car on the forecourt, a small Chevy hatchback. Three men climbed out, wrapped in thick layers of clothes. The foremost man signaled Jackson to stop. His navy tracksuit looked stuffed and misshapen, like he was wearing multiple layers. He wore a black scarf and red fleece hat, which contrasted against his pale cheeks. The second man wore a deerstalker hat and brown duffel coat with an upturned collar. The coat covered his earlobes down to his shins, where his hiking boots took over. The third man, by contrast, was clad in designer ski wear. He sported a coordinated ensemble of snow boots, charcoal gray ski pants, and a two-tone gray-black jacket with the hood pulled up. Jackson, Lopez, and Lucy climbed out in their matching fatigues and met the men on the forecourt.
You guys selling this stuff? Said Jackson.
Nah, we're here for the ambience, said the man in the red hat.
The other two men guffawed at this.
How much? Said Jackson without smiling.
What you got? Replied the duffel coat guy.
We're here with the U.S. Army, said Lopez, straightening up his uniform.
Technically, we with the U.S. Probation Service. So let's call it even, said the man in the red hat.
He means like we was their number one customers, you know what I'm saying?
Laughed the man in ski wear.
They got it, Alphonse. You overexplained it again, sighed Red Hat.
We're freezing our asses off here and we need to get to D.C. You gonna give us fuel or what?
Snapped Jackson.
Alphonse, remember that sign you put up out front? What does it say? Said Duffelcoat.
It says gas, said Alphonse.
Huh. So I'm wondering why these clowns think we some kind of charity, said Duffelcoat.
You're telling me you won't even support your own army in a crisis? Said Lopez.
That would be a yes, said Red Hat.
So patriotism is truly dead, said Lopez despondently.
No, it's still alive, man. It's everyone else that's croaked, chuckled Alphonse.
Screw these guys. There'll be other gas stations, said Jackson.
You sure about that, baby? Said Duffelcoat.
Who you calling baby? Said Jackson.
You, said Duffelcoat.
You didn't call him baby, said Jackson, gesturing to Lopez.
Nah, I call him cupcake, said Duffelcoat.
Alphonse and Red Hat howled with laughter. Lucy pulled out a handgun.
Whoa, cool it,
cried the tallest man as all three men drew their weapons, prompting Lopez and Jackson to do the same. All laughter was gone, and eyes were on Lucy's gun. It was the one she'd scavenged from the abandoned car.
Young, what the hell are you doing?
Fumed Lopez. This gun's in good condition. We'll give it to you if you'll fill our tank, said Lucy, ignoring Lopez and focusing on the men. Red Hat took the pistol and inspected it.
This buys you 10 gallons, he declared.
Lucy reached into her vest pocket and retrieved a handful of bullets.
All right, 20 gallons,
Red Hat conceded.
Not enough. We need more. We're in a Hummer, for Christ's sake, said Jackson.
Lucy reached into the car and pulled out 3 bottles of ketchup.
You kidding me?
Said Red Hat, scowling.
There's 500 calories in each bottle. Right now, I'm guessing that's about a day's worth of calories for each of you, and I don't see many other folk lining up to give you food, said Lucy.
You got any mayo? I don't like ketchup,
said Alphonse. Duffelcoat elbowed him.
Yo, sidebar,
said Red Hat, stepping to one side to consult with Alphonse and Duffelcoat. Lopez grabbed Lucy by the arm firmly and turned his back on the group.
You want to give us some warning next time before you pull a gun on total strangers?
He hissed.
You said you want to get to D.C. I'm getting us to D.C., said Lucy, shaking him off. You had no idea how they were going to react. The move could have got us killed, said Lopez.
How history would have missed us, said Lucy, staring him in the eye. Lopez glared at her.
We good here?
Said Jackson, leaning into their confrontation.
Yeah, we're the dream,
said Lopez, walking away. Jackson waited until he was a few paces away, then leaned in to Lucy.
I get it. You're going through some stuff. Been there. But the Major's right. Don't be a loose cannon, said Jackson.
She gave Lucy 2 pats on the back, then followed after the Major, who was doing a lap of the Hummer. Lucy's fists clenched. She felt herself quiver with rage.
Some stuff?
These people had no idea what she'd been through. They hadn't survived alone for months, carving out a brutal existence amidst the clutches of winter. They hadn't lost their loved ones the way she had. Yet here they were, controlling her, telling her how to survive, how to negotiate, how to grieve.
Yo, we got a question about the ketchup,
said Duffelcoat, invading Lucy's private rage.
Take the damn bottles, coat man. Whatever your question is, my answer is take the bottles, said Lucy.
Or we'll use your 20 gallons and drive to another gas station and trade it with them, added Jackson.
All right. Bottles will get you 5 more gallons, said Red Hat.
I reckon I could eat one of you with enough ketchup, said Alphonse,
nudging Duffelcoat.
Man, you'd be too busy choking on your own bullshit to swallow either of us,
Duffelcoat replied.
Yo, we good. Serve 'em up,
ordered Red Hat. Alphonse and Duffelcoat crouched down and pushed against the hood of their car until the vehicle rolled back several yards, revealing a fuel hatch in the ground. They retrieved some equipment from the car, then set about work.
You guys run a gas station, but you will your own car, said Jackson.
Waste not, want not, said Red Hat.
You've got no idea how much fuel's left in there, have you? Said Lucy. Red Hat scoffed. Alphonse levered the hatch open, and Duffelcoat knelt down beside it. He pulled a buff over his mouth and nose, then lowered a baler bucket inside. The hatch was narrow, only a few coffee cups wide. Duffelcoat continued lowering the baler bucket, releasing the coiled cable from around his shoulder inch by inch over the course of a minute.
How deep does that thing go?
Said Lopez, rejoining the group.
About 30 feet,
said Red Hat.
How many gallons is your bucket?
Said Jackson.
5 or so.
Jesus, we're going to be here all day,
Jackson protested.
Fine by me, said Red Hat. I ain't got nowhere to be. How about you, Earl? You got somewheres to be? Nah, I had a date, but she canceled because of the world ending 5 months ago,
said Duffelcoat.
Quit yanking us around and hurry it up,
said Lopez impatiently.
Slow's the only way, boss. Otherwise you excite the fumes, then boom, said Duffelcoat.
Hey, why haven't you guys mechanized this? You could easily rig up a portable generator to power the pumps, said Jackson.
You remember that other gas station? The last gang tried just that. That was a bad day for those boys. Great day for us, though. Business really picked up after they exploded themselves, said Red Hat.
You're telling me you guys are the smart ones?
That's depressing,
said Jackson. Duffelcoat finished reeling up the first bucketful. Alphonse placed a jerry can with a cut-off top beneath it.
duffel coat decanted the fuel, and Alphonse ported it over to the Humvee, where he tipped it into the tank. The process was repeated 5 more times, during which Lucy resorted to doing star jumps to keep warm. Eventually, the order was complete, and Lucy handed the gang their payment.
"Pleasure doing business with you,"
said Red Hat, loading the bullets into the handgun.
"See you around," said Lucy. "A word of advice? Don't go into the city. All kinds of crap going on in there. Just go around. Use the beltway,"
Red Hat added, pointing to the intersection from which they'd come. "Can you be more specific?" said Lucy.
"Yeah, ask me how many cousins I got left in Cincinnati," he said.
"How many?" asked Lucy.
"1, said Red Hat.
"Okay," said Lucy.
"It used to be 2. Ah, I should have said that bit first,"
mused Red Hat.
"I used to have like 15, but they all died in the virus thing," said Alphonse.
"Like 15? Said Duffelcoat.
"It's a lot of cousins to keep track of,"
shrugged Alphonse.
"We've wasted enough time here already. Let's go,"
said Lopez. Lucy opened the driver's door and climbed into the Humvee.
"I think Jackson should drive,"
said Lopez, holding the door ajar. Lucy wrenched it from his grip and slammed the door shut. She fastened her seatbelt and flicked the engine on. Lopez climbed into the passenger seat beside her, glaring at her. Jackson buckled up in the back.
"Hey, recommend us to your friends,"
called Red Hat as Lucy pulled away. The gas station and the 3 probationers disappeared from view. The Humvee approached the intersection.
"What's that?"
said Jackson, pointing out of the side window. A man was running towards them from several hundred yards away. He was waving his arms desperately, slipping and stumbling as he scrambled across the snow. Behind him was an abandoned car. The swerving tire tracks looked fresh, and the driver's door was open.
"Creature sighted. Hook a right,"
said Lopez, binoculars raised, pointing beyond the man.
"You mean leave him?"
said Lucy.
"We can't risk losing another engagement. And even if we did help, we don't even have enough food as it is,"
snapped Lopez.
"No way. I listened to you and Madison, and you were wrong," said Lucy.
"The creature's closing. Young, get us out of here," barked Lopez.
"We're the U.S. Army, and that's a U.S. citizen,"
said Lucy, spinning the Humvee around to face the desperate man and hit the gas. The Humvee jostled as it picked up speed.
"Listen to me, Young. We just lost a whole company to these creatures. We need to get to D.C. alive so we can fight back in numbers. If we engage in knee-jerk emotional fights, we won't make it. We have to be disciplined,"
implored Lopez, shouting over the engine. Lucy tightened her grip on the wheel and accelerated towards the stumbling man.
"Young, abort!" cried Lopez.
The running man tripped once again. The beast was closing in. The man rolled onto his side, cradling one hand, and scrambled backwards.
"Cover us!" cried Lucy.
She hit the brakes and skidded around, putting the Humvee side-on between the man and the charging creature. Lopez and Jackson flung open their doors and fired on the beast. Lucy banged on the window and screamed at the man to get in, but he scrambled further backwards, his face awash with panic. She threw open the driver's door and leapt out. She ran across the snow, grabbed the man by the shoulders, and hauled him to his feet. Still gripping his coat, she rushed the man towards the vehicle.
"Look out!"
cried the man, pointing to the side. Lucy spun around. A creature had flanked them. It was closing in on the pair of them. She shoved the stranger towards the Humvee and turned to the advancing beast. Setting her feet wide apart, Lucy dug her boots into the snow, blocking the creature's path to the fleeing man. She fumbled for her gun, but she couldn't release the holster. The creature was just yards away, bearing down upon her with each great bound. Lucy looked up and stared at the beast as it prepared for its final leap. The world suddenly slowed, and an immense sense of calm washed over her. She stopped reaching for the pistol. Everything suddenly made sense. Lopez and Jackson's gunshots faded to a distant crackle. She noticed the utter tranquility of the snow-dusted city, the mountain crisp air, the beauty of the creature's lean, muscular design, the richness of its thick polar fur, the precision of its gait as it bounded towards her. She closed her eyes and pictured Dan's face. Snow sprayed across her cheek. The creature skidded to a halt just feet from her. Retching and sniffing punctuated its snarls. Lucy opened her eyes. The creature's teeth were bared.
It pawed the ground frenetically, its tail was raised like a periscope and darted around as the embedded black eyeball searched for a way past. 6 rounds tore into the creature, sending it collapsing into a heap with a single whimper.
Young, get in the fucking truck!
Screamed Jackson, her rifle trained on the dead beast. Lucy came out of her stupor, and she regarded the dying creature afresh, suddenly cognizant of the teeth and claws amidst its crumpled mass. A shiver rippled across each of her vertebrae. A long, protracted howl emanated from an alley and echoed around the street. Lucy turned to the vehicle, and her heart skipped a beat. A series of crimson dots stained the ice beneath, marking the stranger's path to the Humvee. A second howl answered the first. Lucy leapt into the driver's seat and hit the gas.
Jackson, I think he's bleeding,
she cried as they sped towards the freeway.
Holy shit,
cried Jackson, seeing the blood drips before the stranger.
You gotta make it stop,
called Lucy.
More are following us,
called Lopez as he continued firing pistol shots from the window. Jackson tore a strip of fabric from one of the scarves and stuffed it into the man's palm.
Squeeze,
she instructed.
There's paste in my backpack. Get it on quickly,
called Lucy, swerving around an abandoned car in the middle of the lane. Jackson dabbed the man's blood away and slathered paste over his cut. She wound the bandage tight, making him yelp.
Loose the rags, called Lucy.
Jackson finished mopping the blood drops from the floor and threw the bloodied scarf from the window.
Jackson, I could use some help,
called Lopez. She joined him at the window and fired upon the pack in bursts, but the creatures weaved and crossed paths as they ran, leaping erratically to dodge the shots.
They're flanking us, cried Lopez.
In a burst of speed, the pack pulled level with the speeding truck, all grouping on one side. The pack leader took several more great strides and began to overtake the Humvee.
It's a trap! Hold on! Cried Lucy.
She gripped the steering wheel and turned into the leader's path, forcing the creature to skid out of the way. The truck ricocheted off one of the smaller beasts, jolting as the creature went under the wheels. The rest of the pack fell back, but continued the pursuit. Jackson and Lopez covered alternate windows, felling 2 beasts and forcing the pack into a streamlined charge directly behind the truck.
Major, grenade, called Jackson.
Lopez tore the pin from his final grenade and held it out of the window, close to the body of the truck. He released the trigger, then dropped it into the snow. A second later, the detonation engulfed half of the pack in a fireball. The flash drew Lucy's eye to the right-hand mirror, where limbless beasts writhed in agony, their fur ablaze.
4 left,
cried Jackson, covering the opposite side. Lucy sped down the freeway. As the buildings waned, giving way to fields, Jackson ceased firing.
They're stopping, she cried.
Lucy watched in the mirror. The beasts had come to a halt. Lucy stared at the 4 creatures. They stood in a line and watched the Humvee as it rushed away from the city. Lucy checked the rearview mirror. Jackson was slumped in the back of the Humvee. She looked gray and was sweating.
Jackson?
Repeated Lucy, louder.
Huh?
Said Jackson, waking with a start.
Are you okay?
I'm fine. I just need to rest a bit, she replied. You've been out for 2 hours, said Lopez.
She does not look fine, said the stranger.
His head was shaven at the sides and backcombed on top, where a slick of thick gray black hair swept over his scalp. He had a single stud earring and creased lines across his forehead. His stubble was patchy. It left his cheeks bare, and his fledgling mustache was isolated from the hairs on his chin. His winter jacket had fake fur lining and smelled of cigarettes. Lucy guessed he was around 40. Since escaping Cincinnati, she and Lopez had established few details about their new ward. Lopez, openly resentful of the man, had declined to ask questions, and Lucy had similarly lost her desire to engage. All they knew was that he was Canadian, and he owed them his life.
To be candid, she looks like hell,
the stranger added, still frowning at Jackson.
New guy, shut up. No one's asking you,
said Lopez, briefly breaking his vow of silence.
My name's Maurice, said the Canadian.
Lopez ignored him and passed back a candy bar to Jackson, which they'd scavenged from a diner while she was sleeping.
Hey, soldier, you gotta keep eating,
he insisted, but she drifted off again.
New guy, unwrap this and hold it to her lips,
ordered Lopez.
My name's,
began the Canadian.
Your name is whatever the hell I say it is. Understood? You're in my company now, which means my rules.
Lucy snorted.
Trouble in paradise, said the Canadian.
Shut your mouth and feed Jackson, ordered Lopez.
The Canadian obliged.
Don't mind the Major. He gets cranky when people remind him the army's not real anymore, said Lucy.
She speaks. How about that? Said Lopez.
Oh, that's rich from the guy who stonewalled me for 2 hours. Such professional behavior from the Major, said Lucy.
You're still alive, young. Consider that proof of my professionalism. Now how about you explain yourself? Said Lopez.
Nothing to explain, said Lucy.
Bullshit, said Lopez.
We got attacked. We escaped. That's about it, said Lucy.
How about we start with the bit where you disobeyed a direct order and drove us into danger, said Lopez.
You were going to let Maurice die, said Lucy.
Good to know, said the Canadian.
That was my call to make. When one person can't be trusted to follow orders in a crisis, the whole group is in jeopardy, said Lopez, seething.
Got it, said Lucy.
That, right there. That's what I'm talking about. A complete disregard for the survival of anyone in this vehicle. That's it, isn't it? You've given up.
If I'd given up, I wouldn't still be alive, said Lucy.
You're alive because of Jackson. You froze back in the city, up against that beast. I saw it. One minute you were rescuing the Canadian, and the next minute you're standing out in the open, palms stretched out, waiting to be killed, said Lopez.
I was reaching for my gun, said Lucy.
Bullshit, you lost your nerve like a damned rookie, fumed Lopez.
It must be hard for you having to work with amateurs, said Lucy blithely.
Frankly, young it is, so don't be a liability. You want to make it through this? Keep your shit together, said Lopez.
Thanks, I wish I'd thought of that. It just hadn't occurred to me to try, said Lucy.
She brought the Humvee to an abrupt stop.
That could be a problem, said Lopez, peering through the windshield.
The road ahead forked into two distinct parallel bridges, one for each direction of traffic. The eastward section had entirely collapsed, so Lucy pulled them around to the westbound lane. The remaining bridge was riddled with vast holes and cracks in the tar, each at least a meter across.
We'd better check this out on foot, said Lopez.
We? So now you do want the rookie's help, said Lucy.
All I've ever asked for is your help, young. But somehow, all I've gotten back so far is a lot of wildcard bullshit.
Consider this your second chance, said Lopez, climbing out.
Lucy hesitated for a moment and looked at the Major, who was pulling his collar closer around his neck as the cold breeze bit. For so long, she'd been answerable to only herself. This would take some adjusting to. His complaint wasn't entirely baseless, she conceded, but that didn't save him from being a rank-loving asshole. Lucy exited the truck. Cautiously, the pair approached the bridge. Holes of different sizes revealed the rushing river several meters below. Some holes were circular. Others were more like streaks and teardrops in shape.
No way is that going to hold a Hummer. We need to find another way round, said Lucy.
Agreed. Let's double back to the freeway interchange. What was it, a couple miles? Said Lopez.
A familiar blood-curdling screech rang through the winter air. Lucy's heart froze. Her eyes fell upon the long road from which they'd come. A colossus staggered out from the adjoining field onto the freeway.
What the hell is that?
Yelled the Canadian as Lucy and Lopez scrambled back into the Humvee.
Shh, insisted Lucy. What's going on?
Said Jackson drowsily. Lopez grabbed his binoculars.
Has it seen us?
Lucy whispered. The creature stumbled onto the road a few hundred meters from their position. Its arms were flailing wildly.
You tell me,
said Lopez, thrusting them into Lucy's hands. She looked intently. The creature was breathtaking. Its great body was covered in white and gray scales, but flashes of color were bursting across its coral-like wings. Its scorpionesque tail twitched, its usual range of motion constricted. The tip was withered, producing sporadic jets of acid which burned through the snow and into the tar beneath. The creature's upper arms were reaching above its head, swatting. The behemoth's bulbous eyes were gone, leaving two dark sockets carved into its face. The Titan flailed around, swiping at the birds which dodged with ease. They took turns to dive-bomb the behemoth. Each attack prompted a flash of color across its skin, further breaking its camouflage.
The birds! They've blinded it! Gasped Lucy.
The creature lurched forwards and broke into a run.
its lower fist smashed through a row of fence posts as it lashed out in pain. The flock of pursuing birds was growing in number. They were easily visible without the binoculars.
"It's, coming this way," cried the Canadian.
"Everybody out, to the bridge now," ordered Lopez.
Lucy grabbed her backpack and leapt out. Jackson followed, but fell straight to her knees. Lucy threw Jackson's arm over her shoulder and heaved the woman to her feet. The pair staggered towards the bridge.
"Hurry," called Lopez as the ground reverberated with the Titan's approaching bounds.
Maurice was already halfway across, darting between the holes and cracks. A splash of acid landed on the Humvee, melting through the trunk. More drops began to fall across the road, burning through the tar, which fizzed and smoldered as it disintegrated. Lopez led the way, beckoning Lucy and Jackson to follow. Lucy hurried Jackson to the lip of the bridge and took her to the side where she guided Jackson's hand onto the railing. Jackson staggered forwards, leaning heavily into the mesh. The flecks of acid were getting nearer, reaching beyond the road and onto the bridge where they began to burn new holes and enlarge others. Jackson halted abruptly. The mesh barrier was gone, and the floor with it.
"You've got to jump," said Lopez.
"I can't make that," said Jackson.
"You have to,"
cried Lucy. She grabbed Jackson's uniform, creating two tight bunches above her waist and shoulders, and rocketed Jackson in preparation.
"Push off on three," Lucy reiterated. "One, two, three."
She pushed Jackson forwards over the gap. Jackson crashed into Lopez's arms. He heaved her across the next stretch of pockmarked tar while Lucy made the leap herself. A metallic groan rang out as the blind colossus stepped on the Humvee, crushing it. The creature staggered towards the bridge. Lucy grabbed a grenade from her pocket. She yanked the pin out and hurled backward, then sprinted towards the others. The explosion tore through the last passable point of the bridge, severing the creature's path towards them. The blind colossus, screeching and recoiling from the fireball, tumbled sideways into the ravine. The flock of birds dived after it, pouring down into the valley like starlings at night. The creature plunged into the icy water below and thrashed around, screeching, as the torrent swept it away. Lucy stared at the ruined bridge, panting and looking forlornly at their crushed vehicle.
"That was horrible,"
gasped Maurice.
"You okay?"
said Lucy, spotting Jackson, who was bent over, hands on her knees.
"Never better,"
said Jackson, spitting onto the ground.
"Take cover," said Lopez.
Lucy whipped around. Two birds were hovering above the broken bridge facing the group. Two more joined them, ascending from the river. The birds began to advance. In place of beaks, they had long, curled tongues which hung from their faces like fine trunks. A fifth bird swooped up from under the bridge and joined them, followed by three more.
"Get to the forest,"
Lopez cried. A whooshing sound swept past Lucy's ears as a needle flew by, embedding itself into the ground with a quiver. It was almost a foot long and as thick as a porcupine spine. More spines whooshed through the air. The Canadian sprinted ahead and swiftly disappeared into the trees. The birds' cries became audible. There were no chirps, no squawks, but instead a rasping, hissing sound preceded each attack. Jackson stumbled, dragging Lucy to the ground with her. Lopez scooped under Jackson's other arm and heaved her upwards. With a cry, the three plunged headfirst into the depths of the forest.